Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this extra bonus special episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Elimination Chamber Toronto 2025, our thoughts and our predictions for this show. Sancho, are you excited for Elimination Chamber Toronto?
It feels like it's the second half of it. We had Christmas Eve. Now this is Christmas Day. This is where we're finally going to be set on the road to WrestleMania. And dude, The Rock threw the biggest wrench in this entire road. It's most disruptive. So I think the chamber has changed drastically just from 1 week ago.
Yeah, I will say it feels like whoever wins the men's chamber is poised to be put in a position. I said that weird. Poised.
Poised
to be in a position to be in one of the biggest main events in a really, really long time because of what's going on with Cody Rhodes and The Rock. So it's really increased the stakes of the men's chamber, in my opinion, because now it's not just a match for Cody Rhodes. It's a match against Cody Rhodes for the championship, for maybe the soul of the WWE, right?
Yes. Shang Tsung, The Rock. Hey, he's literally taking his dad's gimmick to a T, the soul man.
The soul man, yes, sir.
Soul man, yeah, all man. Right. It's cool. You know what? I know people hate on The Rock and that he's very, it definitely feels like an outsider. Hello. The thing about it is, like, there's nothing like having The Rock involved in Mania season because he pushed that Mania in WrestleMania 40 to a whole other level when he showed up as the final boss.
I agree. It does change the dynamics. It does make it feel a lot more important. It does make it feel more like a road to WrestleMania. Funny enough, what we said, that one of the things that just felt like it was missing from this road to WrestleMania was just this like excitement that was created by The Rock last year. I don't think that we have the same level of excitement yet, but I think there is something now with The Rock's promo wanting Cody's soul. Yes, the promo was bad. We've talked about this at length in the podcast, but the actual substance of the promo is what makes this really fascinating, and the ripple effects that could come about from taking Cody's soul makes this fascinating and makes Elimination Chamber just feel like the stakes are significantly higher. But we're going to go through things on a match-by-match basis here, Sancho. Before we do, just want to remind those that are watching this on YouTube that this did come out early on Patreon, patreon.com/SantiZap. Over there, we also uploaded the podcast, which is already up, and a whole host of extra content that never gets uploaded over there. So go check it out, patreon.com/SantiZap. Link in the description, link in the pinned comment. Let's start things off with honestly the most outlier match out of all of these. Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. I want to get your thoughts on this first, because I have thoughts.
It's a strange pick because it's like Tiffany Stratton has to be the face of this matchup with Charlotte Flair and Mania. And I don't know if this is the way you would like to build up Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton needs to be built up higher to go up against the Charlotte Flair. And I like the idea of the hometown girl Trish Stratus doing it. And we talked about it in our podcast, and I'm going to steal your thunder. I do apologize, but I wish it was Trish Stratus versus Tiffany Stratton, just to be the proper way to do that. In terms of this match itself, it's hard to see it clearly because it's been built up so late last minute. And the involvement of Nia Jax feels like a damper to me. I mean, Nia did annihilated both of them very gently, but it annihilated both of them on top of each other. So Nia definitely is one of those, you know, great, great women's wrestlers of the past year and has always stepped up to the plate when you need a big bad for the women's division. But I kind of wanted to see Tiffany make a name for herself without Nia. I don't know how to say that because Nia has been around for so long around that belt, you know what I mean? And I feel like we need a new faces. And I thought Trish Stratus would have been an old familiar new face to help out Tiffany Stratton here.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like whatever was going to happen with Tiffany Stratton at this show, she's going to win. So I feel like they should have put her in a position to win a match that would have really helped her elevate to the level of the women's final boss in Charlotte Flair. Because right now, Charlotte's entire shtick is that she basically has to step over dog crap in order to just get the championship that she feels like it's already hers, that she deserves. It's Charlotte Flair, and that Tiffany Stratton is just sort of vaguely in the way. But I felt like they needed to do a better job at making us believe that Tiffany Stratton is going to step up to the moment against Charlotte Flair. She should have beat Nia Jax clean, and she should have set up a match here against Trish Stratus to really do the full circle moment of what happened in Toronto last year at Elimination Chamber, where they had a moment backstage. And I feel like Trish Stratus helping Tiffany Stratton elevate herself to get to a match against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania would have been the best course of action. These two teaming up in a cool exhibition match, I don't think is the thing to do for Tiffany Stratton at the moment.
Do you feel that Tiffany as a face just hasn't had time to mature yet? Like, it hasn't had time to cook yet. I think they're presenting Tiffany Stratton as a underdog babyface when that's not Tiffany Stratton. Correct. Tiffany Stratton is not the sympathetic hero like a Jey Uso. She's not a Becky Lynch, right? She's her own unique Tiffy Time, very brazen type of character. Like, she is the one that's in your face, and that's what makes her a great heel. But they're trying to push her up as this face against Charlotte Flair, and I just don't see that yet. And it needs to, like I said, I think you could have built Charlotte versus Tiffany as young guard versus the old guard. It's that simple. But they went the route that Tiffany is not up to their Charlotte's level. And this is, remember, Trish Stratus gave Zoe Starks the rub, and Zoe Starks went nowhere, my friend. Like, Trish Stratus is a great character, and she's absolutely awesome. But in a sense, for in Toronto, like, there's so many things you could have done where it could have been face versus legend, and like, handshake moment, go on, go get Charlotte. That could have been the final moment for this. But they went the safer route with Tiffany Stratton in their pairing up, which they look great together. I mean, they put a photo on recently on social media. Like, that's a pretty cool tag team, but exhibition, I agree. Not PLE ready.
Yeah, I think that they were just concerned about, you know, putting Tiffy out there against Trish to likely get booed in Toronto because of just the circumstances of Trish Stratus being a Toronto girl. Point. I think that's really the only reason. Toronto is very much a, we love our hometown people no matter what, whether they're the good guys or the bad guys. Toronto people are going to get all of the love, even if they love and appreciate Tiffany Stratton. It would have either been a very divided crowd or just straight up in favor of Trish Stratus.
Well, it would have been divided, and then with the handshake, that's the way to like put it all back together. Yeah. But, you know, we saw Piper versus
Bayley. I just don't think they want that. I don't think they want divided. I think they just want Tiffy's the face, right?
Yeah. It, like I said, it reminds me of Piper versus, well, who was it? Nia? Bayley. Was it Bayley?
Bayley.
Like, you wanted Bayley. You still like Bayley. European Bayley is amazing. But Piper was a hometown girl, and I wanted, you know, Piper to get a dub there in the clash. But Bayley's was just too strong for that moment. I don't know, man. I like Tiffy, and I know I'd rather have Charlotte versus Rhea, but if we have Tiffy versus Charlotte, I'm hoping Tiffy looks strong here, and I'm hoping she looks great. Her last match she had against Nia Jax was a little oofers because the bad spell she took to the outside, and she needs to look like almost perfect because Charlotte Flair demands perfection. If I wanted to keep it, you know what I mean? The queen demands perfection.
I agree. So Tiffy and Trishy time are winning. Like, there's no other result here that makes sense. Unless, that's part of the reason why I'm kind of bummed about this. There's just no drama to this.
Unless Charlotte screws them over, which is possible.
But that's not Charlotte's character. That's not what she's playing, right?
The queen, everything's beneath the queen. I think the person that kind of, it sucks to have them in this match, and there was such a great person, like a great heel turn, was Candice LeRae. I like Candice LeRae as a wrestler, and I loved her recent heel turn against Indy Hartwell, and I thought it would be somewhere even cooler, but then she became the lackey for Nia Jax and wanting to be in Nia Jax's favor, and clearly they just put her in the mix so she could eat pins, which sucks. Because Candice LeRae is an actually solid worker.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of hope Nia takes the pin here from Tiffy. I think, like, if you're trying to make Tiffy look good, that's who you need the pin. Anyways, let's move on from that. Let's move over to the Women's Elimination Chamber. We have Liv Morgan versus Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Naomi versus Roxanne Perez. The winner goes on to face Rhea Ripley or Io Sky for the Women's World Championship at WrestleMania 41.
Don't do that. The only reason they would give Io the belt is like if Rhea's hurt or she's going away for a while.
Maybe.
There's no way. Maybe.
Maybe. You never know. Hey, any given day, a little eat here, a little bit of eat there. Anything can happen.
Eating everywhere. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
So Liv Morgan was my favorite going into this. That's who I picked in my original YouTube video doing my predictions. But I feel like things just got thrown in for a freaking loop, pal, because Liv Morgan winning the tag titles really changes the dynamic of what you do with Liv Morgan at WrestleMania, because logic would dictate that you would have a tag team program for her, right, at WrestleMania if she's the tag champions, as opposed to a championship program where she happens to be one half of the tag champions. Maybe they do that, but I do believe that that Liv Morgan has lost some gusto and probability points to actually win this. So I'm actually going to go with the person that I always thought was going to face Rhea Ripley from once the dust settled of WrestleMania 40. I'm going to go with Bianca Belair. I think that Jade comes in here, and the Jade match that we have at Mania isn't going to be Bianca. I think it's going to be Naomi. I think that the paths might take us towards Bianca Belair versus Rhea, which is the biggest match available in the women's roster right now. You've already taken away the possibility of Rhea versus Charlotte part three. The biggest match available is Rhea versus Bianca Belair and Sancho. It's literally not even close. That is the biggest star-studded match that the women can put together. Big enough to maybe main event night one over Jey Uso versus Gunther, if you ask me. I am going to go with Bianca Belair. And you'll see that this is contradictory to my last video about this, because things have changed.
They have changed. The Rock changes things, dude. The Soul Taker comes in.
Soul Taker.
The Soul Taker. Ooh.
Ooh.
The Rock's a
gimmick infringement.
What? Dude, The Rock would do actually really cool old school. He's just a big dude. It looks so weird, too, at the same time. I want to add to that. We're on page here. I like Bianca Belair because of where everything has changed. I think what's going to happen is, I mentioned this in the podcast, where Jade's going to come into the chamber and you're going to have a moment of here, like, who's she going to attack here? She's going to take out Naomi, thus causing Naomi her run at Chamber, Naomi and Mania with Jade Cargill. The reason why I think, and then Bianca will be the winner out of all that. Like, it's just going to how it all shakes out.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we're both in agreement on Bianca Belair then.
It's a rare thing. It's a rare thing, my friend. We won't be in the same thing for a men's chamber, though.
You don't think so? All right. Well, no.
But yeah, like I say, I think the road goes to Io winning eventually. I think Io needs the belt back again because she's just so good.
She's too damn good to not have that belt. But hey, listen, what about like Roxanne Perez, Alexa Bliss, and Bayley? Are they a threat here?
Well, that's why I had my problem. And then I posted this video and it did really well on TikTok. It started a conversation of Royal Rumble winners and Chamber winners. You said they should not pick until after Chamber, which I agree on, but there needs to be some kind of mystery going to Chamber because everything's been taken off the board. Like, so many characters and so many fascinating chances. The idea of Roxanne Perez going the distance and winning sounds so good to me, but that's not going to happen. The idea of Alexa Bliss coming from a two-year hiatus, coming back and using the power of Wyatt Six and Uncle Howdy and all that would have been cool, but all that's not going to happen. I mean, the second match that you talked about that's the biggest beyond Bianca Belair is Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to pull that trigger, if they're going to go spooky, spooky and get Rhea spooked out that way, maybe. But I don't know. There's not enough time to build up any other matches for Rhea Ripley. Because you know what's going to happen is Rhea Ripley's going to come and be like, I'm always on. We've seen it before. I'm always on top. I'm mommy. You're not on my level. She didn't even did it with Io Sky, which was so frustrating to me. It's like, I want Rhea Ripley to be a baby face that could still put someone over without saying that she's the most dominating presence. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because it's like, why would you cut that kind of like a heel like promo about Io Sky? And Io Sky was standing right there the whole time. And then not put Io Sky over as like, she's one of the best of the world. And I cannot wait to face someone like that on Raw, Netflix, that yada yada versus like, hey, I'm always on top. Like, all right. You know, that's what's going to happen with Bianca Belair. Right? That's the problem with this chamber. If it's not Liv Morgan, who has history, the next person is going to be very surface level feud. The only thing that Bianca Belair would have to deal with is the Jade and Naomi fallout. But Bianca versus Rhea is the best of the best. Who's the best of all time? Is Bianca to be the EST or Rhea Ripley going to be the mommy on top? Okay. Surface level stuff. Still banger of a match. Still high quality, but that's where we're at.
Okay. Let's move on here from matches and let's talk about Cody Soul. We're going to have a segment here where Cody Rhodes has to answer the final boss. It's going to be Soul Line Rules. We can keep this quick, although maybe The Rock won't. Maybe The Rock will stretch this out to be 45 freaking minutes. I hope not. I'm going to be there. I don't want to listen to The Rock yap about how him and Cody are friends.
Oh, you would sit there and be like, Rock, take my soul. Rock, take me.
I don't think that Cody sells his soul here at all, but I do think that this is going to set off the chain of events for things to happen at WrestleMania for whoever it is that ends up selling their soul to The Rock. But I think the answer is just going to be no, Rock. I will not sell my soul, Rock. I will not. This is the people's soul, not your soul. Why are you
talking with Lith there?
Well, he's got a little bit of that.
He does. I think it's going to be one of the craziest segments of the show, and people are going to be standing on their feet screaming, no, 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 like, don't do it, Cody. And I think the most interesting part of this is the go-home for Raw was Seth Rollins cutting Cody off and saying, no, dude, like, what are you doing? I sacrifice everything that I have for you to get this belt. Like, don't do it. And Cody was hinting that he would probably do it for his family. That's the one vulnerability of every superhero, my friend. Their family. Superman has Lois Lane. There's always a vulnerable spot. All The Rock has to do is talk about the Cody's nephews that are just starting the wrestling career, which I saw in AEW. It was really cool. He could talk about his brother. He could talk about his dad's legacy. He could even threaten we're going to take Dusty Rhodes out of the Hall of Fame. It's The Rock, the final boss. He could do whatever he wants. He could erase his dad from the history books if he wanted to. There's so much things that he could threaten Cody with, and I'm sure we're going to get all of that. That's what I'm predicting. The Rock's going to lay it out for him. He's going to say, hey, man, what's your answer? And if you tell me no, ooh, brother, there's all these bad stuff that's going to happen to you, and you don't want this, my friend.
Removing Dusty from the Hall of Fame is crazy. That'd be right? Awesome. That'd be insane. Ooh. That'd be insane.
Listen, man, every now and then I make botches and I slip up and I say weird things. Sometimes
you come up with good stuff.
I could be heinous. Remember my idea of The Rock stealing the Money in the Bank briefcase for Damian Priest to catch
Sometimes
it?
You could be heinous. Sometimes could be you could heinous. Be anus as well.
Oh, gross. they hate us because they ain't us.
That's the facts, man. Facts of life. Let's talk about Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, an unsanctioned match. I'm going to lead with this one here. This is it'd be cool if we lived in a...
You're Canadian. Go ahead.
Yeah, it'd be cool if this was the main event. I don't think that it will be. But this, for all intents and purposes, is a WrestleMania match that just happens to not be taking place at a show called WrestleMania. I feel like these two wanted this match here. I've said this before. This is Canada's biggest sporting arena in the Sky Dome, Rogers Center. Blue Jays won multiple World Series there. The Rock and Hogan, the face of Rock and Hogan and Ultimate
multiple?
Warrior.
I don't think the Toronto.
Dude, go ahead. They literally went on a crazy streak. They went on a crazy streak in the 90s where they won back-to-back World Series.
Let me look it
up. Go ahead. And now that's going to be following up with another major Canadian moment, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in an unsanctioned match. And I think that this is going to be the best match of the night. I'm very curious as to what kind of choreography they're going to have. Like how much of this is going to
be. I was distracted by the Cowboys winning the championships during that time. I was really dealing
How many
with
did the Jays really win in a row? Was it three?
Two. It was two.
Okay.
Yeah, 1992, 1993. Cowboys were winning that year, too.
I'm curious if they're going to be fighting it backstage in the arena. Is it in the ring? Is it just going to be all on the outside?
Bar,
the vet the of the table. I'm excited for this. I feel like it needs blood. I don't want any interference. I don't want Karrion Kross in this. I don't want Randy Orton until after
why you
the
say
match.
So venomly?
Because
why
I don't.
I'm
just saying, I just don't want Karrion Kross in this.
I want Karrion Kross to sit in the crowd going, like, yeah.
Even Randy Orton, I don't want in this match. I want Randy Orton in whatever happens post match, but I really just want these two guys to kill each other. And for there to be a referee stoppage or an actual pin count or a submission without anybody getting involved.
Who wins?
I think Kevin Owens wins this. I think Kevin Owens wins this because this creates a vulnerability for Sami Zayn to get maybe more manipulated into a feud against Karrion Kross. Kevin Owens looks strong going into a match against Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens can't just keep losing match after match after match after going months of losing to Cody Rhodes. He needs to win one back to get some of that aura going into WrestleMania. And I think he gets it back here with a bloody, violent match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Sammy has been on a pedestal for so many months and so many, like a couple of years now, that he's been the ultimate underdog babyface. And what a poetic thing to do for Sammy to just get obliterated by the guy that gave him the strength to beat Gunther, right? On the way to Mania. And Kevin Owens was there like, hey, man, you got this, bud. You know, I think this would make Kevin Owens a very scary character to deal with going forward. I think what's going to happen, what if they've done this so many times in wrestling, but what if Kevin Owens threatens one of his family members? I mean, they literally showed him crossing the line, standing outside his house. That's a possibility. If the families are going to be in attendance, I think that's what opens the door to Kevin Owens. Because Sammy's not going to give up. Sammy's not going to lose, but he would, once again, superhero's weakness, his family. But remember, Sammy said that he was willing to go there too.
Like, well, Sammy says he's not, just had a conversation and some tea with Kevin Owens' mom, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. He was sitting outside of like a little stalker. And the mom was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, Kevin just asked me to come by to see hang the out. Air conditioner was running.
Hang out. I don't know, the heater's running. Kevin Owens for you too here.
I don't want to be in a world where Sammy wins and then he has it, you know, holding high and annoying people with like, hey, I know what's it like facing your own friends and you don't want to face your own friend. It will change you. Please, Gunther, don't face Ludwig Kaiser. I don't want that version of Sammy. So I'd rather have Kevin Owens continue on his path, because we got to remember they've invested so much in this heel Kevin Owens. He piledrove Randy, piledrove Cody, and he got obliterated by Cody. So I think he needs a win back somewhere here. And I feel like Kevin Owens has been nerfed ever since for the longest time. You know?
Does Randy Orton come back? And if he does, during or after the match?
I think it'd be a great question. I think what they're going to do is the same thing where Cody was obliterating Kevin. Sammy came out. But it's going to be post. So basically, Randy's going to be that guy for Sammy, and then that's going to make Kevin Owens more upset that there's no one for him like that.
Okay.
And it's going to be post. Like, Randy's like, oh my God, you know, what's going on? Maybe running for save, scare away Kevin Owens. There's so many possibilities they can do with Randy, but Randy Orton is a sorely missed character because we need him for Cody Rhodes too. Like, that's what's so bizarre to me, that they shelved Randy to this ride to WrestleMania so far, because he's needed for Cody. What if Cody could talk to Randy and be like, dude, The Rock wants my soul. What do I do? You know what I mean? But there's a reason why they're doing this. And like I said before in the podcast, is they try to make Cody feel like he's on his own little island. There's no Arn Anderson for him to talk to. He doesn't have Pharaoh anymore on the road with him. I would love to have a segment with his wife to talk about it. And I want his wife to be like, well, honey, maybe you should consider. I mean, we need X, Y, and Z for the family. There's so many interesting things that they could pull from Cody and The Rock that I don't think any other wrestler could pull that out of Cody right now. Mm-hmm. Because we've been saying this for the longest time, is all roads lead to The Rock and Cody at some point, somewhere, in the ring, out of the ring. But everything else has been B tier for Cody. Rock is like A tier, Roman A tier.
All right, well, let's move on to the men's elimination chamber match, where the winner goes on to face Cody Rhodes, a soulless Cody Rhodes, perhaps, at WrestleMania 41. In the presumptive WrestleMania 41 Night 2 main event, we have John Cena versus CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre versus Logan Paul versus Damian Priest versus Seth freaking Rollins. I took over the women's chamber. I'm going to pass it over to you. Pass the baton. What you think?
The only reason why I think it's like a magic card, you know, when you're playing, you ever played Magic?
I'm a Yu-Gi-Oh guy.
Okay, whatever.
I get girls.
The only thing is, there is a card that is in the back of my mind that is I'm waiting for CM Punk to play, and that's Paul Heyman. And there's a lot of people that don't put stock in Paul Heyman's power, but if you want to talk about the devil and the final boss, then Paul Heyman is that guy, and he has been that guy for years. And I think CM Punk is going to play that card, and CM Punk wins the chamber for that reason. Now, it could be as lame as a favor that he enters the chamber last, and they could say on the commentary, and that would piss me off so much.
That'd be so lame.
Right? This must be Paul Heyman's favor. Oh, you know, that'd be so annoying, right? Or like the CM Punk's chamber lights up, and then he goes,
That'd suck. And he,
right?
That would suck. That wouldn't be good. That would
right,
be good.
Right? So I think it has to be CM Punk, because if it's CM Punk does not win here, then it leads to Logan Paul. And that's like, that's a weird, see, you don't want that either. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather see CM Punk win here. And I want the last two of the chamber to be CM Punk and John Cena, just for old time's sake.
Me too.
To talk about two warriors of the past, one hanging on by his last thread, the other who's been overlooked, who is on his last gas of tank as well, going at it for a chance. Now, if you're a WWE, you feel weird about WWE, you'd be like, these are the oldest dudes in the ring, basically, you know, taking someone's spot to go against Cody. But if this is the last ride for John Cena, give him his best villain to go out against as well on the chamber, and that's CM Punk. And if you want to see ring psychology and storytelling at its apex, I want those two. But I want CM Punk to win because of the Paul Heyman boost.
Okay. So I think CM Punk makes it into the main event of WrestleMania in some way, shape, or form with this favor. I think the favor, when we're this far along the existence of the favor, is one of two things now. I think it's I'm in the final two with Seth Rollins, and then Roman comes in with Paul Heyman, and that was the favor. Roman takes out Seth, sets up Punk to be able to get the win, and then that sets up Seth versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Roman looks at Punk and says, "We're even," or something like that, right? And that's how Punk goes into
your yard now.
Maybe that's how Punk gets into the main event. That would require Cena to get eliminated earlier, which would kind of suck. There's also the possibility where Cena wins this outright, and the favor is that Punk gets put into a triple threat scenario, and it's Punk versus Cena versus Cody Rhodes. And funny enough, I feel like that triple threat, now that The Rock has entered the picture about selling your soul, that's the match I want, because now we have two prime suspects as two individuals that could sell their soul in the event that Cody Rhodes does not. And that would be freaking awesome to wonder, like, ooh, is it going to be Cena? Is it going to be Punk that turns and accepts the favor of the final boss or in the main event? So here's what I'm going to say. I feel like, because we already have fantasy booked Jade Cargill breaking into the chamber, I don't see it happening twice, in the same shtick twice. So I don't think Roman breaks into the chamber to take out Seth Rollins. I think Cena wins. I think Cena wins, and the favor comes back afterwards, and Paul Heyman uses his political strings to put CM Punk into the main event, which could then work even deeper into, hey, this favor, this had strings attached to it from the final boss, then maybe you're now his champion and your soul belongs to the final boss. That could be things that could be underneath the carpet that get revealed in the Mania main event. That would be pretty awesome.
Hear what happens. Mania, the chamber, Raw to chamber, or even SmackDown. It's like, oh, you know, John Cena's going to win. And then all of a sudden, Paul Heyman's walking to the door, and on the door it says, The Rock, the final boss. And he knocks on it and he goes, can I come in? And The Rock goes, sure, come on in. What do you have for me, Paul? And the door closes. You're like, oh, my God. And then The Rock makes an announcement. Hey, Cody, remember that you told me no? Well, this is going to make your life a living hell. Now, instead of having you go up against John Cena, you're going to go up against CM Punk as well.
All right. This is the beauty of adding The Rock, even if the execution of the promo was so bad. We've talked about this on the podcast at length. The substance adds so many interesting scenarios to fantasy book here. But we'll leave it there. You've got Punk. I've got Cena. Folks,
that's the only difference we have, except, only difference we have.
Yeah, it is. Folks, thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode predictions video for the Elimination Chamber. I'll be at the show. Sancho will be doing a watch party, so go hang out with him if you're not going to be at the show. Anything else we need to add here?
You know what? No, not really, but I figured out why they burned the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Why?
Because The Rock, the final boss, is the ultimate briefcase now.
Ah, he's the briefcase. What if he turns into a briefcase physically? Okay, that's stupid. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Bye.